Thank you for that. I don't know about y'all, I feel like I've been at an all-you-can-eat praise fest today. Amen? And I don't know about you, I'm full because I've been in the presence of God through praise. You know, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. And Brother Jake does such a great job of leading us into the presence of God each and every Sunday. And I tell you what, we've been led in his presence today. You know what? We always talk about hymns or choruses. You know what matters is the words. And we've sang some great hymns today. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And then, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. As we come to the Lord's Supper, it's one of the two ordinances that the church observes. We observe the Lord's Supper and baptism, and we believe and teach that neither of these ordinances will save you. You're not saved when you get dunked underneath the water. That doesn't save you. You get saved before you do that. That's just showing that Jesus is real in your life because it's an outward expression of what the Lord has done inwardly in you. You're identifying with Christ's death, his burial when you're put into the water, and his resurrection as you're brought out of the water. You're brought to newness of life, according to Romans 6:4, in Jesus Christ. In the Lord's Supper, we gather around this table to remind us of the sacrifice that was paid for us. Let me tell you what, this little piece of bread we have and this little cup of juice will not save you today. It will not change your life. Only Jesus can say, change your life. By the way, these are symbolic of the blood and of the body of Jesus. His body that was broken for us. By the way, I say broken. There was not one bone broken in his body, by the way. But the Bible also says in Isaiah, his face was marred more than anyone's face would mar. You and I can't even begin to understand what our Savior went through at Calvary. I'd suggest this week that you go back and you read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John's account. Because when you go back and read those verses about what Jesus did for us, folks, it has to move you as a believer. It has to change you as a believer. And really, like they sang today, you know what the Lord really wants? He wants our life. He wants our life. Because see, when he has your life, he has everything else. He has your time, your talents, your money. He has your family. He has everything when he has your life. So not only do we come to this table to remember today, we also come to this table to get right with God. We come to this table to remind us of what he can do for us. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want to go back to 1 Peter again. This morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to finish my sermon on trials this morning, but I want to look at another text there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. Notice what the Word of God says. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. By the way, you're not redeemed because you can afford it. Amen. Aren't you glad? A lot of us couldn't afford it. Thank God that we're not redeemed because we can bring silver and gold to God and buy him off. We don't pay him off. That isn't the redemption price. May I tell you what the redemption price is? The precious blood of Jesus. Just one drop, as was sung earlier. One drop is all we need, folks. But he gave his very lifeblood for us. But not by silver and gold, or from your vain manner of living received by the tradition from your fathers. In other words, you weren't saved because your father is a Christian, or your mother was a Christian, or your grandparent was a Christian. That does not save you, by the way. A lot of people think, well, because they're Christians, I'm a Christian. No, you have got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you got to understand what he did for you at Calvary. But how are we redeemed? Look at what it says in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. By the way, Jesus dying on the cross was not God's plan B. It was his plan A, by the way. He, before the foundation of the world, he knew that his son was going to leave heaven's glory and die on an old rugged cross for you and me. He knew that. That was God's plan. That was his plan from the very beginning. And then notice what it says. Who by him, verse 21, do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let me ask you a question. Where's your faith and hope this morning? If it's in any other person, if it's in any other thing, it's any other possession, or it's any other purpose other than the Lord, you're in trouble. Because you must have your hope in him alone. But may I tell you today, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Matt, I want to give you four things real quick. First of all, nothing but the blood of Jesus gives us confidence in prayer. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, because of the precious blood of Jesus, we have confidence when we come boldly to the throne of grace, according to Hebrews 4:16. See, without the blood, there is no access to the Father. Back in the tabernacle in the wilderness, they had the outer court, they had the holy place, and then they had the Holy of Holies. Now, you know, in the Holy of Holies was where we found the Ark of the Covenant. By the way, that was the only item of furniture found in the Holy of Holies. It was constructed of acacia wood. It was covered with a solid layer of gold, by the way. Is a solid slab of gold. And on top was the mercy seat, and there were two cherubims. And by the way, those two cherubims that were on each side of the mercy seat, you know what they were doing? They weren't looking at each other. They were looking down. They were looking down at the mercy seat because they knew, because of the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary, because of the mercy seat, we can have forgiveness, folks. But listen, what would happen is the high priest would go in there once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. And he would go in there, he would kill a lamb that was without spot, without blemish, and he'd take a basin of blood into where the mercy seat was. Now follow me here. As he took it in there, the high priest would wear golden bells and pomegranate on the bottom of his robe, okay? And the people would be standing outside, because if that high priest went into the Holy of Holies with sin, he would have died right there on the spot. But he went to make atonement for the sins of the people once a year, and he had had those golden bells. They could hear those bells as he walked, and those pomegranate, they could hear the seeds as they shook. They could hear the rattle of those seeds, and they could hear those bells, and they knew, hey, he was still alive. He was making atonement for our sin, and he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. Now, I don't want to remind you that our Ark of the Covenant had three items in it. It had Aaron's rod that budded. It had a golden pot of manna reminding them of the wilderness wanderings and how God provided for them. And then it had the two tablets of the law. Now follow me right here. He would go in there and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Because let me tell you something. When God looks down what's inside that Ark of the Covenant and he sees the law, he doesn't see the law, he sees the blood. the blood that was shed for us at Calvary, that was sprinkled on that mercy seat. He would see the blood, and that is the reason we have forgiveness, and that's the reason we have access to the very throne of God. Now follow me here, because see, when Jesus died, that thick veil that was probably 6 to 8 inches thick was rent from top to bottom, meaning not only high priest had access to the Holy of Holies, every single believer here this morning, you have access to the Holy of Holies because God has made it that way through his blood. Because of his blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus gives us confidence in prayer. And that's reason as he wrote the book of Revelation, chapter 1, he says this: unto him that loves us and washed us. That word wash is the word luo in the Greek language. It means to loose us. He has loved us and he has washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. So may I tell you today, because of the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus gives us confidence in prayer. That's the reason we can believe the promise of prayer. Amen? Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Jeremiah 33, 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Matthew 7, 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Folks, because of what Jesus did at Calvary, we have confidence in prayer. But secondly, nothing but the blood of Jesus gives us assurance of forgiveness. Remember, we just sang that song. What can wash away our sin? What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. By the way, he says here in our text, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember, he sees the blood. Praise God, when we stand before him, we're not going to stand before him one day in our righteousness. We're not going to stand before him because we kept his rules or laws. We're going to stand before him by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to stand before him not in our righteousness, but in his righteousness, because his blood was a perfect blood for us, that we could have forgiveness. And that's the reason Brother Ricky shared the verse this morning, Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now I tell you, I've got good news today. Every sin that you committed today, if you come to Christ, he'll forgive you of every one of those sins. If you've never come to Christ, today is the day of salvation, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in a few moments, but I'm going to invite you to come, but I'll tell you what, he'll give you a brand new beginning. I remember when I started doing prison or jail ministry, I started doing jail ministry to start with before I went into prison ministry, and there was a lady in our church, her name was Betty Boone, and there were three men who owed this lady, this man, her husband, money for rent. And they said, if you'll take us out the way, we'll pay you your rent. And they started giving him directions. And in Bonham, there's a lot of country roads out there, just like around here. And they got him kind of lost out there. And they took him control of him. And one of them killed him with a roofing hammer. Betty Boone's husband. I knew one of the young men because he played basketball for the Bonham High School. And I said to Betty, I said, Betty, I believe I need to go see that young man. But I don't want to disrespect you, but I believe I need to go see him. And she says, Brother Jerry, I wouldn't want you to do any less. Go talk to him. And I went down there and I talked with this young man and I began to visit with him. And as I was sitting there in that visitation, the Lord said to me, well, why don't you start doing a Bible study here at the jail? And I said, what, Lord? You know, in the jail? Yeah, in the jail. Why don't you do a Bible study here? I went and talked to the sheriff. He said, sure, we'd be glad for you to come. So on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, I would go down there. The first Bible study I had was with those three young men who killed that lady's husband and one other person. They took us down and back. There's an old jail there in Baum. They had a basement, and they went down to the basement. I thought, well, we're going to go down there in the basement, and there'll be about two or three guards down there, and we'll have a good time. They took me down there, and not one guard stayed down there. I was there with three convicted murderers and one other person, and began to do a Bible study. And in the next few weeks, all three of those young men came to Christ. All three of them came to Christ. And I'm going to tell you what happened. The sheriff, we found favor with him because I said, these guys really want to be baptized, sheriff. And he says, I'll tell you what, I'll bring them out in one of the sheriff cars out to your church. Now, we didn't do it on Sunday, so it scared some of our Baptist folks. But we did it during the week. And I tell you what, they came out there. One of them was so tall and so big, I had to baptize him when he was on his knees because he was a big old boy. And I'm going to tell you what, that showed me right there and reminded me, that's when I started doing prison and jail ministry, that showed me right there that, you know what, God will forgive us of any of our sins. There's no sin except one sin he will not forgive. And the only sin he doesn't forgive is rejecting Jesus Christ. Because you're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit, who is Christocentric. He points us to Jesus. He convicts us of sin and of righteousness of judgment, according to John 16, 7. And if you reject Jesus, there's no pardon for that. There's no pardon for that if you reject Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, over the years, I've got to see a lot of young men who were murderers, who did other despicable things. By the way, when I go to prison, I don't ask people what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. What matters is God's blood covers it. He forgives us of our sins, and he will forgive you. But listen to me. I want you to hear this today, folks. He wants to forgive us. We got to come to him, though. We got to confess our sin. And he says, he's faithful and just, forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the blood of Jesus gives us assurance of our forgiveness. One day we're going to stand before God again, not in our righteousness, but through the blood. He's going to see us. Folks, he's going to see us just like whenever he looked down in that mercy seat. He didn't see the law. He saw the blood. And that's what we will see as God looks at us. Through the blood, we will be forgiven. There's no sin except the unpardonable sin of rejecting Jesus that he will not forgive you of. You say, oh, you don't know where I've been. Well, let me tell you what. Think about it just a minute. Moses was a murderer. He led the people of God out of Egypt. Paul was a persecutor of the church, brought a lot of Christians to jail. We find that Peter denied the Lord three times. David, a man after God's own heart, who wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms, committed adultery and had her husband, Uriah, put to death, so he thought he could cover his sin. You see what I'm talking about? The Bible gives us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And it tells us that we're just like them. We're made of bad stuff. We have sin in our life. And the only thing that can forgive us is the blood of Jesus. Number three, quickly, nothing but the blood of Jesus gives us power in daily living. Now, I tell you, the blood of Jesus will give you power over the devil and all of his demons. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus gives you a path to peace. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, sin cleanses us from all, not some, all of our sin. It gives us help in loving others. By the way, because of the blood, we can love each other. Amen? We ought to be seeing each other through the blood. And we see each other through the blood, we'll see people through the eyes of Jesus, and we'll see them as God sees them. He loves us unconditionally, thank God. Lastly, quickly, nothing but the blood of Jesus will secure you a home in heaven. We are redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That word redeemed means to purchase or to release by paying a ransom. May I tell you that you were in the slave market of sin before you came to Christ? Ephesians 2 says you were dead in trespasses and sin. You were dominated by Satan. You were doomed by this world. But God, who was rich in his mercy, wherewith he loved us and sent his precious Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sin. It was a lamb, a perfect lamb, and that perfect lamb was Jesus. And when you get to the book of Revelation, you're going to see in the book of Revelation, when you see the throne, you will see the lamb. And praise God for the lamb of Jesus Christ. The Lamb that is Jesus Christ, and we might rejoice because, praise God, we've been given a place in heaven because of the blood. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to convince some of y'all of that. I'm looking forward to seeing some of y'all in heaven. Some of you might even have a smile on your face. That would be glorious. Amen? Okay. I close with this today before our deacons come. Years ago, there's a young pastor who had a very sick son. And he was not expected to live very long. Night after night, the pastor and his wife would put the boy to bed and pray for a miracle. One evening, the boy looked up at his dad and said, "Daddy, what does it feel like to die?" Father struggled to speak a word. He said a quick prayer for courage, and he put his hand on the face of his child and said, "Son, it's something like this. Night after night, you go to sleep on the couch watching your favorite shows. You don't know it, but I find you asleep, and I come, and I take you in my arms, and I place you in a room that I built for you with my very hands. And son, one of these days, you're going to fall asleep here. But don't be afraid, because Jesus is going to come and take you in his arms and take you to a place that he has prepared for you. It's a place called heaven." Folks, praise God because of the blood. One day, we'll spend eternity in heaven, free of all sin and sorrow and sickness and death and cancer and heart problems and family problems and situations, trials that we've borne on this earth. Let me tell you what, they're going to mean nothing to us when we get to see Jesus. Today, I pray you'd see Jesus as we take the Lord's Supper. Let's bow our heads as our deacons come. Father, I pray today that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, this wouldn't just be another time that we go through the motions. I thank you for the fact that we've been led in your presence through praise today, through the songs that we've sung, and then we've been encouraged in the Word of God, reminding that nothing but the blood of Jesus, nothing but his blood, can give us access into your very presence through prayer. Nothing but the blood can give us assurance of our sins being forgiven or our having power for daily living or our eternity in a home called heaven. May today you speak to every one of us through this time. And may we, as 1 Corinthians says, examine our hearts and see if there's anything in us that's not worthy. And may we, even as we partake, confess our sin to you and be made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Piece of bread that you hold in your hand today represents the body of Jesus. It was that body that they beat with rods when he was blindfolded and told him to prophesy, "Who's hitting you?" It was that body in which they plucked out his beard. They beat him with a cat of nine tails made of sharpened whips, made of sharpened pieces of bone and sharpened pieces of lead till literally his back was ripped open 39 times. They put the nails in his hands and in his feet. For him to catch a breath, he would have to pull himself up by the two nails that were in his hands and take a breath and come back down. Crucifixion was one of the cruelest deaths of that day. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. And this represents his body. On that night that Jesus met with his disciples, they thought they were meeting for the Passover, but no, they were meeting for a new covenant, a new way through the Lord's Supper. He took the bread and he blessed it. Brother Ricky, would you bless the bread?
Coming to this time as we've gathered around your word, we've gathered around in worship, remembering what was done for us and the price that paid, as we take this bread and remember your body, which is broken for us. We're thankful for the sacrifice. We're thankful that the price was paid, a price that we could not pay, was paid through the body of Jesus Christ and the perfect life of Jesus Christ. So we're indeed thankful this day for the body. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
He took the bread and he broke it, signifying the breaking of his body for us. And he gave the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." cup you hold in your hand with juice in it represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us at Calvary. As we look this morning, nothing but the blood. May I tell you what kind of blood that was? It was innocent blood. He was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God that he did that for us. He became sin for us. Every one of our sins was placed on Jesus at Calvary. Every sin that had ever been committed, every sin that was being committed, and every sin that would be committed. Your sin and my sin was placed on Jesus at Calvary. It was innocent blood. But I want to tell you today, it was powerful blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. It's powerful enough today, as was sung earlier, just one drop. That's all it took to forgive us of our sins. It's pure blood. And this cup represents that. On that night, he took the cup and they blessed it. Brother Robert, would you bless the cup?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much for this church that we have, for the staff that we have, and the people that are in this world. Lord, we just love you and we praise you. And Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you have used this church to reach out to other people. So Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. On that night, he took the cup and he gave it to his disciples. Said, take, drink, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. On that night, they sang a hymn. So would you follow us as we sing today? Brother Jake will lead us in, once again into God's presence.
Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
Now we respond to the table. We'd be remiss today if we did not give someone that's here an opportunity who maybe has never committed their life to Christ. They maybe have Christ in their head, but they don't have him in their heart. And by the way, there's a big difference. That's the difference between heaven and hell. But today, you can be forgiven of all your sins.